This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Richard, what do we make of this?
Well, I think we're chasing the wrong horse. I think that the common denominator is trauma. I think it's the trauma of death or the trauma of the realization that you're dealing with something beyond your understanding that it triggers this. So whether it be alien abduction or a near-death event, like falling from a high place or something, both involve psychological or some sort of trauma. And I think trauma is what makes these quirks appear in our lives. I don't know, these unexplainable things. In both cases of near-death experiences and alien abductions, people sometimes develop psychic abilities, which they didn't have or they didn't realize they had before. And there are several other parallels as well that link these events together. But I believe myself that it is not the experience, because near-death experience occur to people who are not near-death as well. But I don't think it's that. It's some sort of trauma in the realization that things aren't what they seem to be.
When you're talking about near-death experiences that happen to people who aren't near-death, aren't we referring there more to an out-of-body experience?
That's what I would call a psychic after effect. Some people can do, at will have out-of-body experiences. Some people can do remote viewing. But what I'm saying is after somebody experiences a traumatic event, that ability may be more manifest or increased somehow so that they are more cognizant of it and more able to use it, have more control.
Okay. I think I see what you're saying there. I recall a story. Actually, I think this was one of our forum people related to us who was in a car accident and went into a state where he was looking down on the whole scene. It wasn't my impression that he was near death at the time, but the whole thing was very traumatic, as you say.
There's other things, too, I should point out. People who have near-death experience, they come back with veridical experiences. That is, experiences where they couldn't have known something, but during their near-death experience, they learned something which later turned out to be true. And that is very convincing to the person who has that event happen to them, that the near-death experience was something extraordinary. For example, sometimes people come back with visions of things that are about to happen, and they happen, and they're recorded after the near-death experiences, and at some point, a month or two later, they happen just as they were seen by the people who had the near-death experience.
Some sort of a premonition.
They develop
a premonition.
Right.
Interesting.
And some people who had these experiences, either one of them, develop the ability to see auras around people, and they can tell their mood just by the color of their auras. And that's something that they never experienced before or saw before, and they can't explain it, but they seem to have it. What I was doing in my dissertation, my PhD dissertation, was trying to determine if these were temporary changes or long-lasting changes. So I studied the after effects to see if they would go away or disappear, or whether they were permanent. They're more on the permanent side, but not completely permanent. There's some reduction in them, but they seem to last for years and decades, a long time.
So you were saying that someone who's developed the ability to be able to see auras, that they retain that ability, and they look at someone, they can actually see the person's aura.
Yes. What they also say, though, is sometimes they can control it and sometimes they can't. So it may be the case where they frequently see auras around people, but not always or not when they want to, but more frequently they do. and they can tie the color or the shade of the aura to the person's mental health or a state of emotional excitement or something like that.
Right.
Things to do with their mental state.
Now, our listeners and our foreign people, they know I'm pretty skeptical when it comes to all of this stuff. But I want to say right now that once upon a time, I saw my best friend at the time's aura. We were just sitting in a room together, and I just happened to glance over at him just the right way. The room was kind of dim, and it was like there he was. He was glowing with this incredible light that is can only be described as an aura. It was the one and only time I've ever had that experience. I've never been able to duplicate it or repeat it again. And he thought I was nuts at the time. He looked at me like he thought I was crazy and just making something up. But some years later, the same thing happened to him with his girlfriend when they were out on a hike, I believe he said. So he actually got in touch with me and he said, you know, I thought you were nuts at the time, but when it happened to me, I know you're not.
Anecdotal verification that these things exist, like out-of-body experiences and seeing auras and being able to heal. You don't have controlled studies where you can replicate it and do it at will, but you people experience it sporadically throughout their lives, I think. And they may be ours or maybe something else, but we do experience it. If you ask anybody in a nursing home, you know, about the strangest things that happen to them, you'll get a long litany of things that are unexplainable.
I imagine. Now, have you heard of a researcher called Persinger?
Yes. I guess he stimulates the temporal lobe with electromagnetic pulses to emulate near-death experiences and altered states of consciousness. Is that right?
Right. Actually, you're completely correct. That's Michael Persinger. He's Canadian, and he's got the thing called the God Helmet. It's a nickname, and he's been able to replicate these experiences with this using exactly the process that you've described. So I find it really interesting in that if it can be done empirically like this, you were saying, well, you know, we can't seem to do it on command, but he can with this particular device. And that seems to lend credence to the theory that it is an electromagnetic phenomena in the brain that is responsible for the emergence of this sort of perceptual experience.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to take issue with you, not because I find any fun in it, but I had a patient who I presented to the Albany Brain Trauma Conference, the annual brain conference, who had a brain cancer. Persinger seems to focus on the right temporal lobe, and this individual had multiple near-death experiences with the absence of the right temporal lobe. They had removed it. So I don't think I can actually support that argument. The other thing that I'm aware of is some people who've had actual near-death experiences have put on the helmet, and they say the experience is similar but not the same as their near-death experience.
Sure. Of course, now we're finding that the brain tends to share a lot of its processing throughout the brain in a much more non-regionalized manner. We could still be talking about the same sort of phenomena, but not as, say, isolated to any particular lobe or another.
I agree with that.
You've probably heard of the AWARE study then as well.
Perhaps you should refresh me. I'm getting a little old now.
Sure, no problem. This is a fairly large-scale study by the people, the International Association for Near-Death Studies. And you can find it on their site. And what they did is they managed to get into a bunch of hospitals images that were put up and above the patients in operating theaters.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about there, right?
They had, like, numbers up above an instrument that couldn't be seen from the level of the patient. And if it was truly out of body, he would be able to go up to the ceiling and see what number or what image was there on top of some instrument, something like that.
Right. They had over 2,000 patients from 15 hospitals, and none of them came out and went through that and were able to identify any of these images that were there. There was one patient that described a scene, but unfortunately that room wasn't one of the ones where one of these controlled experiments was taking place.
Let's break. We got Rick, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Randall, please continue.
So what we've got is a situation where we've got a controlled study done to try to determine whether or not people are seeing objective realities or some subjective reality that has been manufactured by some process that we don't know about and entered into the person's memory.
Yeah. I understand, and it didn't really work out statistically. It didn't produce any results that were positive, I think, right?
Right, and that's not the only study. There's been more where they've done similar things with specific phrases and words, and none of them have produced any definitive results whatsoever. There are always these sort of anecdotal ones where there's no controlled environment for people to be able to say with some sense of certainty that there can be no mistaking what the person saw.
I think we're talking about dampening. I think that Ryan conducted a lot of statistical tests on, you know, these cards that have different shapes on them. And he took well-known psychics and he put them to the test. And even though the psychics had ability, they just didn't perform well on those tests. And they all told him that it was just too boring. I don't know if that's an excuse or not, but I think that it's very hard to control this ability, whatever it is, this paranormal ability, through what we can devise. I think it's more like Mercury. It just seems to split off and go off in its own direction whenever you try to capture it.
Sort of like the uncertainty principle. If you try to measure it, it just won't happen. You can't get the measurement when you try to measure it.
Right.
But I mean, really, that's not a very very strong counterpoint when you consider that in all cases, virtually 100% of all of these cases where people have claimed to have some sort of a near-death experience involving an out-of-body experience, that is something that they've recalled later after they've been resuscitated and they're conscious and their brain is working. In other words, we can't, and it's impossible, to have an experience relayed by somebody who's never come back or is dead or doesn't have a brain. In every instance, it's been somebody with a brain. And the irresistible conclusion there is that it does have something to do with the brain, but we just don't know what.
Well, I think there's a new paradigm being developed by Tim van Lommel. He's a Dutch near-death experience cardiologist.
Right, yeah, I've looked into his stuff. Same thing. Like every single example he's come up with, I've dug and dug and dug. Same thing. What we're dealing with at best is something that is perceived to be a memory. And that memory is stored somewhere in that person's brain, at least the best that neuroscience can tell us. Now, I suppose there's a theory that memory is non-local, but we don't really have any evidence of that, though.
Well, I think that Tim van Lommel and Bruce Grayson and Peter Fenwick are all working on the idea of a new paradigm that the mind is some sort of transducer that allows us to experience things and send it off into a different level of consciousness, and we're able to retrieve things from some level of consciousness that we have no memory of. Perhaps like reincarnation experiences, but that the locus or the locality of these experiences and memories is not the instrument, not the radio, but the radio wave, and that these things are non-physical, so it's non-local, and it doesn't exist in the brain. A new hypothesis is coming out to explain it, but I agree with you that it's disheartening to have those experiments and have negative results. But I would caution you not to drop the ball because that didn't work, that we just may not be approaching it the right way.
Oh, certainly there's a mystery there because we're not sure how the brain can come up with a memory of something when at the time it wasn't functioning in the way that any neuroscientist would accept a brain to be normally functioning. So the sort of the theories are that, well, when the brain comes back to life, of course, there's going to be changes that take place during the time that the brain isn't functioning, and that those changes, when the brain is awakened again and goes back into functioning, start to sort themselves out and make the best of it that they can, and being such fabulous pattern recognition machines that we are, start to make sense of it in whatever way that it can, and therefore these images are created not something like a dream state, but they're put into our memory bank, and then they're recalled as something that was believed to have happened while they were actually brain dead, but that wasn't really the case.
Well, I would recommend that you read a neuroscientist's point of view of having experienced a near-death experience. His name is Eben Alexander. He's the he's a neuroscientist, and I think he's right now in Charlottesville, Virginia, and he's doing work with Bruce Grayson and the near-death people on the matter of consciousness. He was a person who was a neuroscientist who performed these surgeries on the brain. He had a complete bias in that favor. Then he experienced a near-death. He had a near-death experience where his brain became mush, and then it took months and months to reorganize. But after his reorganization, he believes that there is an alternate state of consciousness that we're not aware of.
Right. He's the proof of heaven guy. Right. And so,
yeah,
you know, I find this subject really interesting, and I would like to believe that there's something out there that's like that. It's just that every time I look into these people's claims, there's always the same factor that we can't escape the fact that anyone who's come back to tell us anything about that has a brain, and that whatever they're telling us seems to be coming out of their brain. And you know, we don't have someone who is non-corporeal that can be measured and heard by a group of panelists who can interview them to say, well, oh, now you're a dead person. What's it like? That just doesn't happen.
True.
There's really no credible evidence for that whatsoever.
But there are people who have been brain dead, not for a minute, but for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, half an hour. And whose brain, who, when they're resuscitated, they're able to reorganize their brain and recall experiences that happened to them while they were incapacitated.
Richard, we got to move along here because we've got to do a break. That little thing that happens on radio shows. There is a way to avoid the breaks and skip the breaks if you get the Paracast Plus. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. Don't you dare miss it, especially those at YouTube who say, too many commercials. I don't want to scream. It'll destroy my voice at my age. Richard Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A change of plans from Republican Congressman Chris Collins of New York. He's now suspended his re-election campaign after being indicted on insider trading charges. USA's Wendy King reports.
The three-term congressman announced the decision on Twitter. Earlier this week, after he appeared in court to answer securities and wire fraud charges, he said that he would clear his name and remain on the ballot.
And I will remain on the ballot running for re-election this November.
Prosecutors say Collins illegally shared information about the failure of a drug being tested by a company that he had invested in.
on this anniversary of the deadly Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. A Unite the Right 2 demonstration is set for the nation's capital, expected to bring hundreds of participants and thousands of counter-protesters. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Richard, part two of that answer.
Excuse me, I missed the transition there a little bit. Is it my turn to speak?
Yes, sir.
You're providing some counterpoint to on the whole evidence issue, where people who have come back from operating theaters do relay experiences that seem at the time to not be explainable, and that is considered as some sort of reasonable evidence that this event had taken place as described.
Yeah, right, yeah. I'm thinking of a woman named Pam something, I can't recall her last name, who was undergoing brain surgery and apparently died during that surgery, and she was, after she was resuscitated, she gave a running account of what the doctors were doing at the time that they were operating on her and thought that she was dead.
Right. There's possible mundane explanations for that, and you know, one of the things we do on the forums is we have a lot of point and counterpoint, and we really try to get to the truth of the matter on these situations. And one of the points I make when these things are brought up is that when people go in to have those kinds of operations, they're usually prepared for them ahead of time. It doesn't usually happen right on the spot. And even if it does, there's a lot of social and cultural knowledge about this phenomena out there. But in a normal case, if you're preparing for a brain surgery or some major surgery, you're going to be into the hospital, you're going to be seeing doctors, you're going to be familiar with the environment, you're going to have your senses picking up a lot of things that are subconscious, including images of people and sounds of people around you during the time that you're there, pre-op and post-op, before you're even conscious again. And so it's entirely possible that given all of this conditioning, that what happens is that a person has this environment already in their mind, and that when they go in and they die on the operating table, something happens within their mind that is equivalent to a dream state organization of the neural pathways, that when their brain wakes up again, puts all of that together and says, I'm in a hospital, all of this has happened, I know that must have happened, and then it comes back to them in this visual type of a cue. That seems to be a lot more reasonable from a cause and effect perspective than sort of, well, this mystical thing that rises up out of the body that nobody can explain.
Well, my counterpoint to that is that that's a plausible explanation. But like people who see UFOs and people who don't see UFOs, if you've experienced seeing a UFO, you have an opinion. And somebody can say that it was the planet Venus or it was a light reflecting off the clouds or something like that. And you having experienced it will not buy it, but you had the experience. The person who's trying to explain it didn't have the experience and comes up with a plausible explanation, and that could be is true as well. But it's almost like if you had the experience, you have one position. If you didn't have the experience, you have a plausible explanation for it.
Well, that's pretty fair. I do place a lot of value in firsthand experience, and as a ufologist and someone who has seen a UFO, I can completely relate to where you're coming from. But then again, we're dealing with different kettles of fish here. In one situation, we're dealing with people who are normal functioning brains. They just happen to look up and their perfectly functioning normal sensory apparatus picks up a stimuli that they interpret as some sort of mysterious flying object. Most of those actually do turn out to be something mundane. And when a person has it explained to them, they go, oh, okay, well, that was the case. So there's no reason that that can't be the same sort of thing. A person can be convinced, in other words, that they're seeing something strange from their own personal experience until it's explained to them in a way that makes sense. In an NDE, however, it's completely subjective. I mean, we're not dealing with, first of all, external stimuli. It's all taking place within the person's mind.
Well, let me try to get an example between the two extremes. If somebody's had an abduction experience and it's traumatized them and they were taken aboard a craft and examined and probed and assaulted, shall we say, psychologically and physically, and they first of all have very little recall of it, and then under, for example, hypnosis, they might have a little bit more recall, or they may spontaneously recall it. Oftentimes don't want to believe that that happened to them and will deny it and try to avoid believing that something like that happened to them because they don't really want to admit that it could have happened. And, you know, that's the case where we are consciously trying to find an excuse for not believing something that happened that may have happened. And, you know, there might be people who say, well, we didn't see him for half an hour, or he wasn't around. And, you know, who would, like, verify that he wasn't present when he said he was being abducted? And he might have these memories of all kinds of traumatizing things that happened to him while he was abducted, but he has no way of proving it and no way of convincing anybody else. So basically what they retire to is, well, you know, if you feel like it didn't happen to me, it's okay. It's all right to believe that, but I know what happened to me. You know, they in their own mind, believe that the experience was real.
Oh, I believe the experiences are real. I've known people that have had the experience. My question is just in the interpretation of the experience. So a person can be entirely sincere. But again, what we're dealing with are sort of two different kettles of fish in that on one hand, we have an external stimulus, which is affecting a person's perceptual apparatus that is then being experienced and shunted into memory. In the other situation, what we have is a person who awakes after the experience is already over, after the fact. So we're dealing only with a memory. We're not dealing with any real-time input of stimulus into the person's mind in order to generate the memory. And so the mystery seems to be, well, how does that memory get there then?
I can't answer that, but I can point out that sometimes when people are anesthetized and unconscious or or actually die, that they can repeat conversations that took place while they were in a death-like state, conversations that occurred in the operating theater.
How is that possible? And,
well, I don't know. I'm just pointing out a different example where they would not have picked this up subconsciously through being exposed to film clips of what was going to happen, or talking to doctors and being told what was going to happen, or picking that up from a nurse or something. But maybe what's happening.
Okay, how's this for a theory? I mean, I'm not a doctor. You are, so maybe you could sort of say,
PhD,
well, you know.
Academic.
But you could maybe comment on how reasonable it might seem. So I know that our hearing centers are pretty much one of the last to go when we're dealing with people who are in a brain death or near brain death when they're doing the electro.
I understand what you're saying. Yes.
Right.
Okay, so
you've got the net over their brain, and they've got a little thing that goes in there, and it vibrates and it sends signals through the eardrum into the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And when the brain is right down, even with that net on, and most people don't get that net put on them when they go into brain death in an OR, they just simply don't do it. They have other types of things.
You're right. Yeah.
So what's happening is, and I've seen this because I experienced this because my brother was killed in a car accident, and I had to be there to witness all of this, and I wanted to make sure beyond any reasonable doubt that his brain was gone before I would say, no, you pull the plug.
Randall will pick up on this in our next segment. With Richard, Randall, and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay, and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Waiting with bated breath to find out what Randall has to say. Go ahead.
So I watched how this was done, and I watched the actual chart being printed as it was happening. At a certain threshold below all of the lines that you see on there, they say, well, this is brain death. And yet you can see very low signal inputs still happening. But they say beyond this, it's just hopeless. Hypothetically, what could still be happening is that the eardrums, they don't stop functioning. They work on a pneumatic principle. So they could hypothetically still be sending very, very weak signals into the neurosystem that when the brain comes back is able to somehow pick up on those, and being the amazing pattern recognition creatures that we are, figure out what it meant. This is a reach, but I'm saying at least it's something that connects the dots in a physical, measurable way, as opposed to just saying, well, it's all magic. We don't know how it happens.
Right.
Does that sound reasonable?
I respect that example, and I'm sorry that you had to experience that. It's a plausible explanation. For scientists who are really, really critical, it's hard to come up with some foolproof way of explaining it. It's just where you place your faith, your belief, you know, I think. I suspect that there is something having to do with a higher consciousness involved here. And your explanation of the functioning of the eardrum is also plausible. And I think that it's maybe because of our different experiences or our different approaches that we may see it differently. But I can respect what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And that I agree that that could be the case, too.
Well, that's a really healthy approach. I mean, I'm really glad that we can have this kind of a conversation with someone who has your experience and wealth of knowledge and a scientific mind as well, who can consider, you know, a rational, grounded, objective approach to the thing and not be, say, put off by what might seem like sort of a very skeptical point of view on afterlives and so on.
People like me need people like you to keep a balance. And I think that we help each other if we listen to each other.
That's a really healthy attitude. So now for me to completely flip this around the other way, if we're talking about some sort of way that our consciousness or our memories can be stored in some sort of, say, virtual cloud up there somewhere, then that seems to lend credence to this whole idea that maybe we're living in some kind of a vast simulation where all of our life experiences are essentially shunted to a vast memory buffer and can be reconstructed at any time. And this is actually being taken seriously by some scientists and researchers and philosophers now. What do you think of that idea?
You know, I understand that I'm a little bit behind the times, but the concept of a super reality, you know, having to do with some physics, some form of physics that I don't understand is possible. But I have to tell you an honest experience. When I was a boy, I was around 12 years old, I dived into a lake and I didn't know how to swim. And as I sank to the bottom, I thought that all I had to do was jump up and, you know, move my arms and I would float to the surface. But I was raised in Maine, so it was always too cold to learn how to swim, and I didn't really know. So I just tried and tried until I ran out of breath. And I could see people above me floating on the surface, and they were like surfboards. And I could see them, but I couldn't touch them. I wasn't tall enough, or I was deeper than I thought. And the next thing I know is that I'm experiencing things that happened to me when I was 2 and 3 and 4 years old. Now, whether those memories came to me by some physiological process, that these are memories that were stored in my mind and I just somehow triggered them by having this near-death experience, by anoxia, lack of oxygen, or something like that, I don't know. But what was not explainable is that I did things that were, some of the things that were immoral, and I said, I felt such a deep regret for that, that it was like a revelation of something that I had never experienced before, like the sense of guilt that came with recalling these experiences that happened before I could even remember them when I was conscious. So I think that if some things are maybe a little more complex than we believe, and it convinced me that there was something to the near-death experience. However, I didn't do anything about this until I was about in my late 40s when I went back and got a degree on and did a thesis on near-death experiences, because I think I'm still searching for the truth of what happened to me. And maybe that's why people go into psychology, because they have problems that they're trying to figure out. I don't know.
Thanks for sharing that. That's a really interesting story. It was almost as if I was there with you. I was visualizing looking up from under the water at these people above and imagining what it would be like to not be able to reach up and breathe. That must have been really, really an amazing experience. How were you saved from that?
I don't really know how I was saved. I kind of was in this alternate reality, and I think somebody must have spotted me, and they pulled me out. So I remember being pulled out of the water, and I remember being put on a large rock on my stomach and then pressing on my back. It was like I was on the surface again, and I was coughing up water. But the memories of what happened were also fresh in my mind, and I was a little confused at the time. So I had to go back to the car, was wrapped in a towel, and I just forgot to mention it to my parents because I just wanted to go swimming again someday. So I just kept it to myself.
That's very, very interesting. I've heard quite a few similar stories from people. I love talking about this stuff, whether we can explain it or not. I absolutely believe that people have these experiences, that the phenomena itself exists, and that we certainly haven't explained it all. So thanks all right. for coming on the show and sharing and being willing to listen to someone like myself who does take a very skeptical objective.
I really enjoy speaking to you, and I think that's good for all of us. It's like breathing some fresh air, you know. Sometimes we're in a closet too long, and it's good to get out in the sun and get some fresh air, and that's what it was for me.
Speaking of fresh air, Richard, can you tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff?
Yes, but the only thing anybody has to do is go on the Internet, put my name, Richard Bonifant, put NDE. That'll get to my my articles. Or put animal mutilations, that'll get to my articles. Or do UFO, that'll get to some of my articles. Just put my name and the topic, and they should come up.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. Look for the PowerCast on Twitter. You can also find us with two official Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. I don't know if Facebook's worth it. I guess it is. But you hear of all the security stuff and you kind of sort of wonder. We also have an official Paracast YouTube channel going to be updated soon. And a brand new site, the Paracast.com, brand new version with a new Paracast store for all sorts of goodies coming up probably, and I think, you know, next week or so. We are working with a developer and with, of course, Randall to get the thing put up. You can also check out the Paracast Plus. It's the way to order the show and not have the network ads. And in exchange for network ads, we charge you a little bit. $1.49 a week, $4.99 a month. We also have packages for 5 years and a lifetime. And in those cases, we give you free stuff. You've heard about free stuff? We give away free stuff. How about them apples? Free stuff. To find out more, go to plus.theparacast.com. We also offer the After the Paracast podcast, which is not available except to subscribers, and we never know what's going to happen next. In fact, with our episode with Walter Bosley, it ended up being part two of that episode. To hear the rest of the story, you had to be a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. Randall, tell us about your site.
UFOpages.com.
Okay, Richard, thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast.
Hi, it was my pleasure, and I really enjoyed this. Thank you for inviting me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.